Welcome to another edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. And, you know, I sense high energy because our guest on this edition, I watch him. I didn't realize he had such a tie to even where we're all from there in Alabama, in Birmingham. And that is Raymond Arroyo. You see him on Fox News. You've seen him there. But, of course, he does all kinds of stuff. I was trying to keep up with everything that he's doing. I have laughed at him several times. And, of course, what I do love about what we have in common, he seems to also, like Rick and Bubba University, be a professor of common sense, which has now become a superpower. And he loves to take on, like us, the illogical things that continue to go on in our world. But he's also multifaceted. And so let's put our hands together and welcome Raymond Arroyo to Rick and Bubba University, the podcast.
Raymond.
Hey, guys, I'm delighted to be the visiting adjunct professor at Rick and Bubba University. So thank you for giving me my exalted degree today.
Raymond, you do so much, and you do it so well. We always enjoy seeing you on TV.
I have to tell you, you guys, let me just interrupt you for one second. You two sustain me on so many morning drives. You just don't know. From the time we lived in Birmingham to now, I mean, I download you all and follow you in different ways now that I'm in New Orleans. But you all are hilarious, insightful, and just great companions for the morning, I have to tell you.
Well, you're kind to say that.
You bet.
And we are we saying your last name right? Because you're familiar enough with the show to know that we butcher people's names.
Yes. You got it pretty – Arroyo.
Arroyo. I need to emphasize the "ah" more.
No, you're fine. You got it. I'm not correcting you. You were perfect. Don't meddle with success. If I don't correct you, you're fine.
And you can tell Raymond's such a professional. Look at his feed. I mean, he's got a feed. He's got the background blur. His depth of feel like he likes it. Yeah. I mean, he does this a lot, Rick. You can tell.
Look at him.
I'm a disaster without my crew around. I have to tell you, it's a miracle we got this up and running. If you saw the scene here on the desk, it's a chaos. This looks like Biden's head here. It's just a
chaos. Well, we'll get into the book series that you have going, and then we'll get into your Christmas tour, which we probably need to bring that up again on the weekly show when you're coming to some of the markets where the show is well known. But I do want to ask you a little bit of background. I went through the bio, and I had no idea you had your start at EWTN. You know, out of the Global Catholic Network that is based out of Birmingham, of all things.
You bet.
And you certainly have written some incredible background on Mother Angelica and all that. But how did you end up in the gig that we most know you for now, and that is being part of the Fox News team, and then more specific, doing the segment with Laura?
Mother Angelica ended up being a conduit for a lot of that. I wrote her biography. Of course, I worked for her in Irondale, just outside of Birmingham, for many years, started the news operation there. But when I wrote her biography, which became a New York Times bestseller, Laura Ingraham invited me on her radio show to talk about that book. We did one 10-minute segment together. When it was over in break, she said, "Why don't you stay for another segment?" I said, "Okay." So we stayed for another segment. At the top of the hour, she said, "Can we talk about other topics? Would you want to just stay around?" That chemistry, Rick and Bubba, you all understand this. Yeah. You have it. When you have that chemistry and that crackle between people, you can't fake it. And there are a lot of people on TV who fake conviviality and friendship, and you know they loathe each other off camera. Ingraham and I always have had that connection. It was instantaneous. I was like the, upstart brother who gave her a hard time, and you know she would slap back and I'd crack back, and it was fun, it was engaging. Laura calls us the evil Donnie and Marie, which is probably true. So we started there in radio, kept doing the show, and then Fox came along. Actually, in 2008, Roger Ailes asked us to do a show called Just In, which we did at 5 o'clock. It was a big hit over the summer, but Laura had just adopted a daughter and I had a newborn baby girl, and we thought it was too much to do radio, my gig at EWTN and Fox. So we told Roger Ailes no. So that 5 o'clock slot went to Glenn Beck. So Laura Ingraham and Raymond Arroyo are the parents of Glenn Beck, I like to say. And all this time later, the wheel turned and they asked us to do the 10 o'clock show, now the 7 o'clock show. And, thank goodness it's work. That chemistry, the relationship doesn't fail in broadcast. If you have that relationship, you can really take it anywhere, I think, as you all are testament to.
30 years coming up as our birthday in January. So
I love it.
But to that point, you were talking about the chemistry. I do want to ask you just a practical thing. How do you like the new 7 o'clock gig versus the later evening? It's got to be great for you as your schedule.
Awesome. Yeah, well, we can have dinner with families. You can actually have an evening. You know, guys, and I don't think people realize this, when you have a show, particularly a daily show, and I help produce Laura's show as well, you carry that show with you until you're finished. You just carry it throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So our entire day and evening was just focused on the show. You couldn't let go of it till 11 o'clock at night. And it's a long haul without a break. So it's so nice having the 7 o'clock show. By 8 Eastern, we're out. And, you know, for those of us in the central time zone, by 7 o'clock, I can go have dinner with the family or go to a show or a game. You know, we got the Saints game coming up. So, I can hit those things, whereas before I could never think of it. So it's nice. It's great for quality of life, I have to say.
So we're going to come back and talk about the book. So one more thing before we go to this. When I see all the things that you do, okay, and Bubba and I went through this, it was what do you remember the years we were on Turner South? Do you remember that at all?
I remember it. I don't remember what year it was.
It was somewhere early in the 2000s, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's call it that.
And so we had always done radio, like you and Laura. We had done this. Does it amaze you, because we were once told, and Bubba quotes this often, and it's true, that, you know, if you want to be, you know, a celebrity or known, radio can get that for you. But when you go out on mainstream television, that's what's going to turn you into what some people see as a much larger.
Well, I remember Hannity telling us before we did that, because we talked to him about it. He said, radio will make you famous, TV will make you a star.
Right. Have you found the overwhelming reach to such a large audience? Was that an adjustment for you?
No, because I mean, look, I've been on TV for 28 years now, so it broadened the audience, certainly.
Sure.
And it takes you to places you never imagined you'd go. But, you know, guys, I don't know about that. I think your influence on radio, particularly now given the media environment, I think you reach far more people and have far more influence than you imagine, and certainly more than many of coiffed and dressed people you see on TV are having in the evenings. Those ratings are all kind of contracting. Whereas I think the intimacy of radio, I think that's far more influential. So star, I don't know what that means. Maybe ubiquity. People know who you are with more ease.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that necessarily equates to anything, you know, other than for me, yes, you can carry your ideas and the things you create to a broader audience, but whether or not they're listening, that's the point. And you all have that.
Now,
the attention in the ear and hearts of the people, particularly after a 30-year career. People love you all, and they're devoted to you.
Well,
and we have that affection. Ingram and I have that, too, for the same reason, because it's authentic and it's real, and they're having a good time.
Yeah, and you did touch on it, because I will admit that he's right on this, because I really have never had anyone who watched us on those years on TV and even watch us on YouTube now. The people who watch, it is a different connection than the people who listen. It's the people who listen that say, I feel like you're family. I feel like I know you. And there's no doubt, even in my own life, that I listen to what the people on the radio are saying, because it's more intentional, more than I do, hey, the TV's on in the background while we're doing stuff, and, oh, wait a minute, I think they're talking about something I care about.
I think they watch because it's a train wreck, you know, and it's kind of like America's Funniest Home Videos, but it's a show,
right?
You know?
Well, there is that, you know, and people, look, the biggest thing Ingram and I have ever done was that silly you thing, you know, that little back and forth, which I get stopped by little girls coming off of planes, you know, little teenagers. Are you the you guy? Can I get a picture? I'm like, of all the things I've done, you've written books, you've done albums. Now, this is what they focus on and know. But we had like 80 to 100 million views of that thing. And let me tell you guys, that was entirely scripted. I wrote it on a plane as a throwaway gag at the end of a segment. It was an homage to the old Abbott and Costello routine, using you, the show You on Netflix, as the hook. And you know, they thought it was real. So
I know.
You, testament to Laura Ingraham's acting skill.
Yeah, y'all did it so beautifully. Of course, we, like everybody else, covered it on the show. And Bubba and I actually looked around and said, y'all realize, I think this is a bit. They're not serious. And the number of people that thought that it was not a bit, they thought you were frustrated. They thought she didn't understand what you were saying. You both did a brilliant job on that because people bought it hook, line, and sinker. I'm telling you.
The tag was the little button at the end made it work. We were running out of time, and our producer is screaming in the ear, go to break, go to break. We had a hard break. You know how this is. Yeah. Go to break. So Laura, rather than ending it, you know, quietly or putting a bow around it, just said, okay, we got to go. And she cut it off. So it made it seem more real. Yeah. So sometimes those things work in your favor. And thank God for hard breaks.
Amen. And speaking of that, we're taking one now. we'll be back with Raymond Arroyo when Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, continues.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Our guest today on Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, Raymond Arroyo. So let's talk about, and we're going to get into everything that you do today. We talked about Fox News and you being at EWTN, but you're writing a series. You already are a well-known author, but this is a children's series. It's the second installment, The Magnificent Mischief of Tad Lincoln. It came out on my birthday, not trying to bring any attention to me, on October the 3rd.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, I kind of felt like you did it on purpose, but maybe that's self-indulgent. It's the second installment. So tell us why this series. Give us the why behind it.
First of all, people always call these children's books. I never refer to them as children's books. I call them family reads.
There you go.
Because most of these books I started as chapter books, and I said, wait a minute. My real intention, guys, is to bring families together. I want mothers and fathers and their kids and grandparents and aunts and uncles to read to the kids and share their experience and their impressions of this story with the other generation. That's where the magic happens. That's where the memories happen. And that's really all I'm trying to facilitate. This series, when I went to schools, visited schools as an author for young adults and middle grade kids, when you visit schools, you realize these historic figures that you and I grew up with are being forced out of curricula. Yeah. They don't know who these presidents are or these great inventors or these great American lives. So I thought, how do I tell these stories and really engage young people and the older generation and give them all something new? So I came up with this idea called Turnabout Tales. And these are young, great American lives. And our motto is just this: challenges faced, decisions made, history turned, because that's what happens in all of our lives. The obstacles are not the end of the journey. The obstacles are the beginning of your life, is what I tell young people. The first book was about Thomas Alva Edison, who at 8 years old was thrown out of school, told he was an idiot. His mother took him home, homeschooled him, and fed his passion. She let him blow stuff up. She let him burn down the barn. She let him play with acids and metals. He became the greatest inventor of all time. In fact, the microphone we're talking on, the light you're seeing me on, all of that, Thomas Alva Edison. This new book is about a son who saves his father. Tad Lincoln is someone I knew nothing of. He's Abraham Lincoln's youngest son. And he taught his father a lesson in mercy and forgiveness that he had picked up from his dad over many years. But at a particular moment, he's responsible for not only a great American holiday tradition, the White House turkey pardon, which I had seen for years and couldn't figure out where it came from. It's because of Tad Lincoln and Abraham Lincoln. But it also is an amazing story of a father and a son. A child who was allowed to play and be a reckless, fun boy in the White House. And all the secretaries of Lincoln write in their diaries, why does he allow this hellion of a child to run loose? Why doesn't he discipline this child? I figured it out. Abraham Lincoln, in the hellscape he was living in, needed a touchstone of joy and fun and light and hope in his life. Tad Lincoln was that, the only touchstone and reservoir of hope that he had nearby. And so they say he would double over in laughter when Tad was making a prank or did something outrageous or ran into a cabinet meeting. That's an important lesson, I think, for all parents, for all dads particularly, that sometimes the things we're occupying ourselves with are not the most important things and may not be the hope we need in that moment, but your kids may be.
Yeah, that's so true. I remember people trying to, you know, that mentored me and helped me and men in my life, and I'd be talking about things like, you know, school plays and, you know, little league games and all these things that we all try to get to, and you say, well, I've got this thing that's important, and I've got this, and surely they'll understand that I miss this because of this important thing. And I remember one of the men that has helped me so much, he said, well, that all sounds good, Rick, but to your kid, all they'll remember is you weren't there.
Right. So right. That's so true. Being present, you know. And look, when I look at this, people ask me, did you intend this to come out, you know, now? Actually, I had written this as the first book in the series, and the publisher staggered it. But this is the perfect time, because it's about finding hope in dark moments. And boy, are we in a dark moment as a country. Not unlike the Civil War. We're that close. You feel the tensions, the divisions in the people, the hatred that bubbles up all over the place. And this story is really about just what you talked about, being present. You know, I interviewed Mother Teresa many years ago. I followed her around for a couple of days. And when I look at this book now, I think of her. She was going to see Princess Di in the Bronx, and the media was all around, and everybody was waiting for her to go in. And she crossed the street, Mother Teresa did, and picked up this little infant baby and kissed the baby and blessed it and prayed over she and the mother and handed it back to the mother. And I said, Mother Teresa, you're going this way, not over there. And she looked at me and kind of sternly corrected me and said, children are a sign that God has not abandoned us. Mm. We have to reverence every one of them. And I think that's what this story of Tad Lincoln, the magnificent mischief of Tad Lincoln, is all about for me. It's about a father who took the time to reverence the child in his midst. And in the doing, that child saved him mentally, psychologically, in so many ways. And it also is a wonderful origin story of a holiday we take for granted. And I hope after people read this, they'll never look at a Thanksgiving turkey in the same way. It is a beautiful story. And just to, I'll ruin it a little bit for your audience, spoiler alert. Tad Lincoln's brother dies, Willie. He befriends this turkey that is delivered to the White House. He teaches it tricks. He walks it on a leash. And as Christmas approaches, the White House chef picks up his pet turkey one day and takes it to the kitchen. Tad freaks out because, you know, the guy's got the meat cleaver in hand. Takes the turkey, runs upstairs to his father and begs his father to pardon the turkey, as he'd seen his dad pardon troops that had left the war field or return properties that were taken from them. And Abraham Lincoln pardons the turkey. And that tradition continues to this day. And it's a beautiful sign, I think, of how Lincoln saw Thanksgiving as a moment of forgiveness, mercy to fellow men, and a moment of unity for the country. That's what we need to have Thanksgiving be again, not only for the country, but in our homes. And I hope this book reminds people of that.
Well, that's really well said. And are you getting pressured, or do you have a desire to continue the series beyond Tad Lincoln? Oh, yeah. So there's more to come.
I'm working on a president right now. I can't tell you who, but it's another president who, if you look at him as a boy, you'd never imagine that this would become a great, you know, historic leader. And again, it's the power of, in this case, a family, a father who had an amazing influence. All of these stories, I end up, as I look back at them, I see they're underdogs who really find their way, find their calling in the midst of the family. That's the through line, I think, that runs through all of these, unintended by me, but it's the stories that I guess I'm attracted to.
Well, Bubba, you've mentioned it many times. We've talked about it on the show. And you just touched on it again. I think there's a notion right now that, and I'm glad you're doing these books, I think people have forgotten that some of the most well-known and what we deem to be successful people suffered quite a bit and had all sorts of failures and setbacks and things they had to overcome.
You bet. No. That's the as I tell young people, this is your doorway to your future. Those obstacles are not there just to end your life. They are there to challenge you to enter into what you're called to. And in all of these stories, it's why I love the Edison story, and I love Tad Lincoln. You know, Tad Lincoln had a very short life. He was dead at 18. Mm. But what he accomplished during that time, our missions are not long or short. We have a family friend, you know, a 24-year-old girl, dear friend Anna, I won't say her last name, in Virginia. She, you know, she was a friend of my son. They had confirmation together and were schoolmates. She was at went to the gym, 24 years old, medical student, goes to the gym, drops dead. It was a cardiac event. It was unexpected. So we don't know the span of life that we have. No. But whatever it is, you have a calling in that time. And we all have a limited amount of time. And I think in Tad Lincoln's case, he was to be this bright light and this source of joy for his father. And he left a mark not only on that family, on the nation. And Tad was a kid with a cleft palate. People had trouble understanding his speech. He was not a great student. He couldn't read very well. So his father took time to read to him every evening. You know, there was that personal attention. So sometimes the things that we see as setbacks, Edison was deaf by the age of 12. The man who created the phonograph, the man who created the speaker on the phone, was deaf at 12 years old. Those things become their superpowers in some ways. They're part of their journey. And you can't dismiss them or think, oh my gosh, I can't accomplish anything. No. Those are part of what you're called to do and be. And that's why you have to stay with that child and have confidence that you're moving along the path if you're that child.
Great family book, and if you don't have it, you can pick it up everywhere you know books are sold. We're going to continue to converse. With that. As a matter of fact, there was a latest study that just came out that said children that are read to and read, as they're at a very young age, by the time they get to school, they're way ahead of their counterparts who did not experience that. So if you're looking for something to get that started in your home, this series is fantastic to be added to your family reading plan. Or maybe you want to start a family reading plan. This would be a great series to start with, The Magnificent Mischief of Tad Lincoln. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation with Raymond Arroyo when Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, continues. Bubba, no one likes to talk about life insurance, but we must.
No, it's necessary, Rick.
We must. Now, let's simplify it, because the bottom line for most of us, if we were honest, we're saying, here's what I want to know. If I go into eternity before the rest of my family that needs me and needs my income, what will they receive? Bottom line.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Well, let's simplify that with a great company called Ladder. Ladderlife.com/Rick Bubba. Why don't you go now and see if you're instantly approved? You say, Rick, you must jest. How is that even possible? Listen to this. It's 100% digital. No doctors, no needles, no paperwork. If you apply for $3 million in coverage or less, all you're going to do is answer a few questions about your health in an application. And then you'll see that those algorithms will go to work that Ladder has been using, and they'll find out if you're instantly approved. This is such a good experience that Ladder's customers rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, and they made the Forbes Best Life Insurance list. So all you need is just a few minutes. You need a phone, maybe a laptop, either one, and you can find out what Ladder can do for you in real time. You'll find out if you're instantly approved. No hidden fees. You can cancel anytime you want to. Get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. And the policies are issued by insurers with long proven histories of paying claims. So why don't you make the move now? Ladderlife.com/Rick Bubba to see if you're instantly approved. That's LadderLife.com/Rick Bubba. Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. Raymond Arroyo is our guest, a man of many talents. One is outstanding writer, and he has the latest series, and you have corrected us, and we are listening because we are coachable. Family books.
Yes.
Family books.
Family reads. Family reads.
Family reads, and the latest is about Tad Lincoln, the youngest son of Abraham Lincoln. And you're doing more than just providing family reading. You're also doing what unfortunately is missing, especially in the government schools, is this attempt to revise history and introduce these people that at one time it was a given you'd be taught about.
Yeah. They're too busy doing other things now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why things have crowded out the curricula. You know, they teach kids to work toward a test rather than general knowledge and certainly foundational knowledge of who we are as a people. If you don't know the people that went before and you don't know the foundation of the Republic, you are lost. You don't know what you're a part of or what you're advancing. And this is why we're seeing the disillusion, the hatred all across the country. People who hate America, people who hate themselves, people who don't want to have kids. You saw that Wall Street Journal article where, or opinion piece they did a poll, and I think it's something like only 30% of young people wanted to have a family. That is a hatred of you, yourself, your people, who you come from. Who would not want to advance and continue your own family, your own person, your own race, your own community? I can't fathom this. And yet that's where we are. And a lot of it is a failure in education and not enough time spent one-on-one reading and spending time with children. That needs to change.
Raymond, we would be remiss if we didn't ask you. This has really been about you and a lot of the things you're doing, but some of the current events, speaking of education, has to be very disturbing to you. What's your take on what you're seeing in the Middle East right now?
It's all disturbing to me. I mean, what we're seeing in the Middle East, again, we were talking about education. When you teach people in the classroom that everyone is a colonizer, that you know, that Israel in this case is an oppressor that hates people. When you begin to frame everything as a racial argument and a one group is less than the other, and we stop talking about evil, terrorism, the roots of Hamas that were elected by the Palestinian people to represent them by overwhelming margins in 2006. By the way, that's the last time they had an election, which gives you an insight into the great political openness of Hamas. Okay, this is not a credible regime or government, and yet there are many in the media who, with a straight face, treat them as if this is the government of Canada or London, England. This is absurd. These people are terrorists who came to power with a sword, and now we're seeing the bitter and ugly tactics that this regime will use at any and all times to maintain power and to extend terror. And look, they've been very successful, guys. I said this the other day. They scuttled the Saudi Arabia-Israeli peace accord that was forged by Trump through the Abrahamic Accords. They stopped that in its tracks. They also stopped Biden, who flew over the other day to go meet with Jordan and Egypt. They blew up Hamas blows up its own hospital in Palestine. That ends the meeting in Egypt and Jordan. So they're wonders at using terrorist acts to exact a political will and exact a political purpose. This has got to end. This has got to be stopped. And people of goodwill, free people, should be united in that effort to want the Palestinians to be free. And the only way to make them free is to get rid of Hamas. Hamas is an agent of death and destruction.
Yeah, and it's almost like, you know, you hear that logically laid out and you go, who can be against that? But two things is, you know, in a lot of this, you know, we have a biblical worldview. You see it in Scripture. People have become so unreasonable. I said this just the other day. It's impossible to reason with unreasonable people because it's in both of those words. Yep. So if I want to reason something out, you have to be open to reason. You can't be unreasonable. And so the mob mentality we have now, and sometimes we see this on the right and the left, not just the left, that it's almost like, I don't like this. We call it, and you do too, this fake world we're living in that isn't reality. Where once I say that, for instance, I'll use something that people say, well, he's always going to do is talk about the left. I'll use the right. I decide that I'm going to be a supporter of Donald Trump. It's almost like that I'm handed a one-sheeter. We all know what that is in the business. And these are the things I have to believe, and I cannot question Mr. Trump. I cannot question this. I must be all in with Donald Trump no matter what he does, forever and ever, amen. And I'm like, well, no, I don't want to be part of any mob. I'm going to talk about the things he does well. I'm not going to ignore those. But if he does something that I don't think was the good move or I don't agree with, I'm going to be critical of it as well. Oh, you can't. You can't. You can't be. Once you declare a certain belief system, you're assigned your points of view. And I don't like that on either side.
No, you're so right. No. Guys, we have replaced knowledge with ideology.
Right.
And this ideology has become a replacement for religion and religious belief. I mean, on both sides, I see it on the left, I see it on the right. Political leaders are not messiahs. They are not people who demand or should have our total fealty in every aspect of their lives or actions. They are servants, public servants. Act like it. Serve the public. not yourselves. And I would say that, I mean, what we're seeing in Congress right now, the Republican Party is in full collapse. The fact that they can't agree on a speaker after weeks and weeks, and just to put this in context for the audience, what we're really seeing is the Republican Party denying the American people and their constituents a branch of government that functions. This is one of the three branches of government. It must be responsive to the people and to the actions and moments, events of the moment. We're not seeing that now. They've shut it down effectively by not affecting a speaker and electing a speaker. This has to end as well. They've got to get their act together, or they're going to come up with some coalition government that nobody's going to like, and worse, nobody elected.
Raymond, you bring up a good point. We've been talking about this too. A lot of the issues and positions that the Freedom Caucus have, I agree with, but I certainly don't agree with the way they're implementing that now. And it's almost like, we have a saying, read the room. This is really not the time for a lot of those lines in the sand when the world appears to be coming apart at the seams.
You bet. Well, and only Republicans would be so politically deaf as at a moment when Joe Biden is slipping in the polls, the economy is tanking, the world is falling apart, and they've got several corruption probes underway in the House. That's the moment the Republicans decide to have a family food fight and attack one another, and make the emphasis and focus on Capitol Hill now on Jim Jordan, who can't get elected, and Hakeem Jeffries looks like the great leader of the Capitol at the moment. This is crazy. This is self-inflicted wounds, motivated and driven by selfish politicians. Eight of them I could name, but you know who they are, who have decided that they were going to take their little temper tantrum out on the entire House of Representatives, heedless of party or the general interest of the common man and the rest of the country. This is ruinous. And they should be penalized for this. I would censure all eight of them.
Well, we had it on the show today, the day we're recording this. But it goes back to, I don't think we're not that savvy on how the government works. We need to know this. We had a caller today that, was all in on this. And, and Bubba tried to make the point.
All in on what? On the fight over the speaker?
Getting the speaker out. McCarthy should go.
He was all for standing up and getting
it. He don't want Jordan to be the speaker because Jordan agreed with McCarthy and all this. And he did not know this and tried to stick with it. Bubba pointed out, well, you realize in the situation we're in right now, our government can't function. And he didn't believe that. He was like, oh, it don't matter. We can still do whatever we need to do. And we're like, no, you can't.
You can't. Everything's at a standstill.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about, a lot of Americans don't know that.
Yeah, this is the ignorance I'm talking about. They don't know their history. They don't know basic civics. And they don't know their role in the republic, which is why, how can you fight for something? How can you be a part of something or defend something that you have no real knowledge of? This is just, we're just floating in ether. This is nonsense. The founders of the country intended us to, there are two things that they, prerequisites for this experiment in liberty to work. And I wish people would read the founding fathers a bit more. The two things were an informed populace and a moral people.
Yeah.
Guys, we don't have either right now.
Right. That's key for a democracy. We don't have.
Yeah, I tremble for the republic. How can you? But this idea that you have to have pure vessels, and that only one pure vessel can be the Speaker of the House, this is absurd. The guy runs the schedule and moves legislation, but it's a very important function. And the best speakers I've ever seen, I have to tell you, and I covered Capitol Hill. I was Capitol Hill correspondent. Newt Gingrich, I was there when he took over the Congress and challenged Bill Clinton and led that Republican revolution. He was a strategist. He had a game plan when he went in. And more importantly, he changed those laws that McCarthy threw out when he became speaker, stupidly, that protected his power as speaker and allowed him to keep the fractious cats in line. As a speaker, you have to do that. You can't allow every goofball in the House to take a shot at you and challenge your speakership. You'll get nothing done. Kevin McCarthy just proved that. We can't have this again. The other, by the way, most successful speaker I ever saw, Nancy Pelosi. You know why? She was a killer. She said, this is what we're doing today.
Blood and guts, buddy.
The only way to work is a speaker. Nice guy, you know, altar boys don't make good speakers. Killers make good speakers, and you needed some.
We'll come back. We'll finish our conversation with Raymond Arroyo when Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, continues. All right, so, Bubba, let's face it. You know, quitting a bad habit cold turkey, I mean, that's one option.
Or just don't quit it, Rick.
Yeah, right. But, you know, we talked about turkey with Roy today, Raymond, but it is delicious. But it's not the best way to stop a bad habit. What about something like fume? Now, fume is spelled F-U-M, but you pronounce it fume. And here's the deal. This is a way to continue a habit, but then the habit not be bad. Okay, if you follow what I say. I mean, instead of the drastic, uncomfortable change, why not just remove the bad from the habit, but still enjoy the habit? So when you're dealing with fume, this is an award-nominated device that, instead of electronics, it is completely natural. Instead of vapor, it just has flavored air. And instead of harmful chemicals, fume uses all-natural, delicious flavors. You get it, instead of it being bad, fume is actually good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit a little easier and enjoyable. So these are just, you can adjust the airflow dial. It's designed with movable parts and magnets. If you're like me and you fidget, I tend to fidget. You probably have noticed that if you follow the show. It gives your fingers a lot to do. It's also great at de-stressing and anxiety while breaking that habit. So why don't you do this now by going to try fume, and remember fume is just F-U-M, tryfume.com. Use the code RickBubba and save 10% off when you get the Journey Pack today. That's tryfume.com. Use code RickBubba. Put our names together, and you'll save an additional 10% off your order today. Tryfume.com/RickBubba for an additional 10% off your order. And let's take that bad habit and just turn it into a good habit. Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, Raymond Arroyo, our guest. We have had a blast with him. The way we got him on today is he's got a new series that he has just launched. This is the second installment. It's The Magnificent Mischief of Tad Lincoln. It's a great family read, and you can get it wherever books are sold. It came out on October the 3rd, and we've talked about that. We've talked about the state of the country today. We've talked about Raymond and his journey to Fox News. But one thing that we have not talked about is Raymond the singer.
Right. Multi-talented.
Let me tell you something. Huh? Raymond, what I was like, is there anything that this man cannot do? I mean, so talk to us a little bit, and we'll talk more on the tour.
How's your dance moves, Raymond? Okay. Oh, you got that
that's
too?
What I'm saying. I can think of a couple of things. I golf like a person with, you know, half a leg. I mean, I can't golf. I'm a terrible, I'm an okay dancer, but I wouldn't do it in front of people. So there are things I can't do, guys, I can tell you. My wife could probably give you a much longer list, but I'll leave it there.
So musically, we were listening to some of it before we started talking to you. And, you know, that most wonderful time of year is coming up. I know there's some negative going on, but the Christmas season is just a...
Well, you know, we need a good Christmas, don't we?
Thanksgiving first, and I don't like to rush Thanksgiving. You made a point why we shouldn't.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Thanksgiving into Christmas is the wonderful holiday season. And so I know that, you know, we all love the traditional Christmas songs, and but listening to it, is this a jazz flavor, kind of a big band flavor? Tell us about your musical taste.
Well, over many years on my Christmas special on EWTN, I've had the privilege of singing with some of my musical heroes, Johnny Mathis and Aaron Neville and Andy Williams, Dion DiMucci. But a record producer approached me and said, would you consider doing a Christmas album? And I said, no. Now, back 25 years ago, I sang in musicals, you know, and as an actor. But that was a long time ago. And she kept coming at me and, you know, asking me, well, could reconsider this. I said, well, look, if I can find an interesting angle on Christmas and these songs, maybe, because I do love, I listen to Christmas music all year round. So I did a deep dive into the origins of some of these carols and classic songs that we take for granted, frankly. And what I discovered is what we think these songs are or how they were intended is wrong, completely wrong. So I got together with Kevin Koska, the great arranger who did, if you don't know Kevin's name, you'll know his work. He did The Greatest Showman, The Dark Knight, Jungle Book, Lion King, all those orchestrations were Kevin Koska's. he arranged, and I said, I want this to have a big band classic feel and sound. There's some tender songs as well. But we created something that I think sets these songs in a beautiful classic setting. They sound like, somebody wrote me the other day and said, these songs sound like they were recorded 40 years ago and yet fresh as yesterday. So, that, you know, they do have that kind of classic feel, which I wanted. And the band was incredible. 20-piece orchestra, some of the best sidemen from New Orleans. We got together here in New Orleans. I live in New Orleans. And it was incredible. It's an incredible journey. And I loved it. And now we're taking it on the road. Go to RaymondArroyoChristmas.com. RaymondArroyoChristmas.com has all the info on the CD. But then I'm going on the tour, this is like the highlight of my year. I'm going to Phoenix. We're going to Tampa, Florida, Dallas, Cleveland, and we end the tour on December 21st at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville.
Hey, wow. So a little history before. There. Have you ever?
Oh, unbelievable.
Have you ever played the Ryman before?
I've been there. Kelly Pickler and I did a Christmas special with her with no audience there, but I've never actually played the Ryman. And Jose Feliciano, who joins me on the album, we did a new version of Feliz Navidad, a kind of bossa nova gentle version, which is, by the way, closer to how he envisioned it when he wrote it than what we know. Jose Feliciano is coming with me on some of these dates, including at the Ryman.
How old is he now?
It's going to be beautiful. It's like a family reunion, and the band's traveling with me. It's going to be incredible. We're looking forward to it.
How old is Jose Feliciano now?
I think he's 74, maybe 74, and still performing incredible. And the dexterity of his fingers on the guitar, he's just legendary. And of course, that song is the earworm.
You can't escape. It's in my head right now. I'm fighting.
I know.
I'm fighting everything. The Feliz Navidad. I can't stop it. I mean,
You're on the next album with it.
Well, that was my audition. Didn't want it to seem so obvious. But
it worked. We'll release it on your birthday.
There you go. Just like the book. So, the tour and all that will be coming up. And we'll try to have you back on to just specifically talk about that because we're big holiday season
people. Oh, love it.
I mean,
we want to punish the audience with some tracks. I'll bring some tracks and we'll play them.
Yeah. Well, you need to come be in studio.
I mean, I'd love that.
Let's have a Raymond day.
Yeah, the Zoom thing is great. We love the technology, but there's just something about Raymond in the room.
When they told me that we were going to play the Raymond, because I've always wanted to play the Raymond.
Yeah.
When they said we're going to play the Raymond, I said, you know, when I lived in Birmingham, everybody called me Raymond. They said Raymond. So now I'm Raymond at the Raymond. So it works.
And what did all of us do with your last name here? I'm sure it wasn't pretty.
Oh, we don't even go there. Don't go near Arrow, Oreo, Aurora, Aurora. Well, I don't even know.
Or you can be like,
I get that no matter where I go.
Or you could be like me in the commercial a minute ago. I moved it to your first name. I called you Roy.
Yeah.
That's okay. As long as you get the first letter
that's right.
Long as you call me, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. You can call me Ray or you can call me Jay.
So you're doing news. You're doing comedy. You're doing books. You're doing music. Are you anything else you want to try?
I should lead a ballet company. I'll try that next year. But no, I don't need. Look, I really, guys, I just respond to the opportunities of the moment. And you know, I'm a believer. I think the Holy Spirit guides
Amen.
You to the things
yep.
you're called to in the moment. And our obligation, one of the great lessons Mother Angelica taught me. Your obligation is to respond to that inspiration in the moment. You don't question it. You run at it. Sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes the door closes and you know that was not God's will. That was your will. But otherwise, these things come. You embrace them and hopefully you spread some happiness and goodness and inspire people. And I think now that I look at it, this Christmas project, Christmas Merry and Bright, could not come at a better time. We need something uplifting and that brings us together as people. And I love that we can do that around music and the holidays and the real reason for this entire holiday and season.
Well, yeah, and I think it always makes a difference when the people say, you know what, I'm not going to sit here and be depressed and wallow in all this. I'm going to make a decision to do things like going out and singing and worshiping because you know, and we
going
know,
to the mall, standing in line.
Yeah, you know, and right, grabbing
those greatest traditions, crawling over the sales
events, right, yes. Fighting do over that. The last
sure.
one.
Sure, watching.
Yeah, that's not the way to commemorate Christmas. Jesus did not come for you to hit your neighbor over a widescreen. That is not why he came.
All right, so go to Raymond Arroyo.com to find out everything about Raymond, and of course he's told you we got the Christmas link there for you too. But The Magnificent Mischief of Tad Lincoln is available now in a great family read. Raymond, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Oh my God. Guys, you have made my day. I've loved listening to you all. You've been constant companions on so many days when we needed to laugh, and even my kids in the car. It's been an honor being with you.
Thank you, Raymond.
Well, we're honored.
Yeah, we are. And thanks to each and every one of you for joining us on this edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast.